Time for album reviews now. Up for examination this evening, Everything Not Saved Would Be Lost, Part 2 from Folds, second album from them this year. Irish artist Doughty releases his second album, LOSS, Our Loss, and Vagabond, also known as Letitia Tamko, releases her self-titled sophomore album. And with me in studio, Kit, Brennan Harding, John Maher. We're going to start with Folds. Let's have a listen to a track called Black Bull. From Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, Part 2, second album this year, as I said earlier, from Folds, Kit, Brennan Harding. What did they give us in Part 1, and was it really two albums, a double album that they just decided to split up the release?
No, I think so. I think basically Folds for the last few years have been going down the track of going into synths and electronica and then marrying that with their original more math rock sound. Mm. Now, I think math rock is a term, sorry, that really wrecks my head. I don't like the term. It just sounds
the term
silly.
Or the music?
The term, yeah. It just drives me a little bit mad.
Why does the term drive you mad?
I just think it sounds really pretentious. It's rock. It's a type of rock, do you know?
Type of guitar rock,
yeah. exactly. But no, this album, I think that their original intention was that they had 20 songs. They hold up for a few weeks. Mm. They had 20 songs that they wanted to release into the world. They didn't see it as being a double album. They definitely saw it as releasing it in two parts to basically allow the first album sit with people and then to release. This is a much bigger, heavier kind of sound.
Yeah, because if what we just listened to is far from math rock, it's much more fuzzy and swampy than
that. Yeah, it is,
John.
For sure. I mean, they certainly have had fun wigging out in studio on this album. Mm. It's interesting because, you know, they say they're companion albums. They're released 6 months apart. And yet, to be honest, there's very little to connect this album to me with what they did 6 months ago. I mean,
is that a good or a bad thing?
The same. Well, it's a pretentious thing in a way. I mean, Part 1 and Part 2, this feels like a very, very different album. This feels like, I mean, the other album was Mercury nominated. Didn't win, but did quite well. I quite liked it. I think it was inventive and experimental. This seems like a more fun sort of release for them. But there's very little to suggest that it's anything like a State of the Union address, which Yanis, the frontman, suggested at the beginning of the year when he was talking about, this is the year that we're going to release two albums, they're going to be companion albums, and it's kind of looking at the world. And I don't hear that here, partly because the lyrics tend to be so opaque at the best of times.
Right, did you hear anything of a political statement on the album, Kate?
I think, like, I actually spoke to Yanis earlier on in the year, before their Trinity gigs, and he seemed to be sort of saying that this album was going to be more of a political statement than the first one, that this one was heavier and harder hitting, like, and going
and
back
it?
To... I don't think so. I think it's, like, for me, it comes across as incredibly virtue signalling. It's stadium rock. Which is like, Folds fans, my brother's a big Folds fan, they're going to absolutely love it. But I think that it is very virtue signalling. I think it's taking on the topic of climate change and the fact that it's a post-apocalyptic world is where they've gone to as a theme. And I don't think that it's actually saying anything of substance.
All right, let's have a listen to a track called Into the Surf, and I suppose that's referring to climate change or to the environment in
some... It is,
some...
but this is my favourite one on the album now, because it slows it down. It's nice.
I was say, this is more melodic and much easier on the ear than some of the other tracks. John Mayer, Into the Surf.
Not, and it's very beautifully produced. Mm. It has to be said.
Beautiful song as well.
It is, and in fairness, they are one of those bands that can command a large audience. Mm. They play the arena circuit all the time, and yet they can be cerebral when they want to be. I think there are times where they need to rein it in. A classic example of this is Neptune, the final track on the album.
10 minutes 18 seconds.
And it's way too long. There is such a bang of pretentiousness off
indulgence,
it.
Yeah.
All right, so should this just have stayed where it was, left it with one album release and stars out of five from you? So answer the question, give me the stars, Kate.
Well, I think that fair play to them for releasing the album. I think fair play to them for releasing a body of work that they're proud of. I would give it 3 out of 5.
John?
It's a 3 out of 5 for me too.
Right, let us move on to album number 2 for us this evening, electronic artist Dahi. And the album is LOSS, full stops and capital letters, but let's just refer to it as Loss. What did he give us in his debut album, In Flight, from 2014? Was it very different from what we're getting
here? It's quite different, yeah. I mean, this is a different way of doing things. This is a bigger, bigger volume of work, definitely. I mean,
Dahi was a kind of
traditional fiddler. Yeah.
Started out to then went in down this electronic route.
Into electronic production, and what he makes is really, really gorgeous kind of singular dance music. You know, watching him since the release of his first album to now and seeing his live performances grow and grow and grow, it makes sense now that this album, which he didn't want to release, he didn't want to create an album. He didn't think he would ever do that again. And he's created this Loss, and I think it's absolutely beautiful.
All right, let's listen to the opening track, which features the voice of Paul Noonan of Bellex One. Thank you. Take the Wheel, the title of the track, their opening track on Dahi's second album, Loss. We all said as the first strains of Paul's voice there come out that you immediately think, Nick Cave.
We do. He's definitely, I think, channeling his inner Nick Cave for sure, Paul Noonan. He is a popular go-to figure for collaboration, and with good reason. He has a beautiful voice. It's sometimes not showcased as well as it might in Bellex One. It's showcased extremely well here.
Now he's almost producing here as much as he is singing, songwriting.
Oh, very much so. This is essentially a calling card as to how good a producer he actually is, and he's an incredible producer.
Mm. Yet, as you were telling us as we were listening there, Kate, this is a very personal album. The loss is very specific.
Completely, yeah. Like, Dahi has spoken about how he went through a big loss a few years ago. And
a huge breakup.
Yeah, and he decided, basically, he had chords of how he was feeling. He'd written them down, he'd written notes, he'd escape of basically what he wanted to create. And he went off to France and cut himself off from everybody.
No social media.
Nothing. Yeah. And created this. And then from that, he's spoken about how originally the album was very inward looking. And in doing what I think Dahi does best in finding amazing Irish musicians to collaborate with, who brought in their own lyrics, like Orla Gartland's lyrics are unbelievable, about her grandfather. Mm. He's brought in, like, they've each kind of added something to it and lifted it outside of itself.
Yeah, and Alva Reddy then, because I was thinking the Submarines is the title of the track here. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this fits in perfectly with Dahi kind of submerging himself and taking himself out of, you know, below the surface, literally.
Totally, and yet this is a real kind of summery bop. It was released a few months ago. It's definitely something I've danced in a tent to it at festivals, and it's like really kind of nice early kind of Saturday morning vibe to it.
Yeah, there's a kind of a come down feel low too to the kind of Submarines at the beginning at any rate.
Alva's voice is amazing on it.
Okay. And actually, just to talk about that Orla Gartland song, Perfect Harmony.
Actually, can I listen to Alva Reddy and we can go back to there, because I don't want to lose the beginning of this. Called Submarines from Dahi's new album Lost, and we were just commenting on the traditional flute that just is sampled in there, that's fitted in there.
It's done in a very sensitive kind of way. I mean, when Dahi O'Droni came to our attention 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was very much about that kind of that Irish thing distilled in a modern way, but in a cool way, and it's very difficult to do it.
I interrupted you wanted to say something about the Orla Gartland track.
Yeah, that's really beautiful, because it's not so much about the death of her grandfather, it's about the fear of losing her grandfather. Mm. It's that kind of, and a sense that we all love people, and we know that we're all mortal,
it's
finite, and it's haunting, and it really gets to you.
All right.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I mean, there's a line in it, I just can't imagine a world without you dancing. I think that's just beautiful.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Yeah. Okay, Stars. I think you both enjoyed this one. Mm-hmm. Stars from you, first of all, John?
I give it 4. I think the wonderful tracks are truly special. There are one or two that were half-baked to me, but it's the good stuff is wonderful.
Right, so 4 from me. What are you saying, Kate?
Well, what I think is that this is an album that you need to go lie horizontal somewhere and fully immerse yourself in it. I'm giving it 4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5. Final album that we have for you this evening is Vagabond from Vagabond. Who are we talking about when we talk about Vagabond, John?
She is Letitia Tamko, a 26-year-old raised in Cameroon and living in New York. And I suppose part of that city's very fertile indie scene for the best part of this decade. She released an album a couple of years ago called Infinite Worlds, which was quite guitar based. It was a good album. What impressed me most about it was her voice, which is really captivating. Mm. This is a very different album. It's much more expansive. There's a lot of different instrumentation going on, a lot of synthesized sounds.
Right.
And her voice, again, remarkable.
I'm going to listen to a bit of a track called Water Me Down.
To be me, never meant to be us. Never meant for all of this, never meant for you to love, never meant for you to trust. So I'll take my time next time, and I'll do it right. And I'll take my time next time. Only with grace I'll make you a flood in my mind. Only with grace I'll take all the words that you said when you brought it back from the
And there's a kind of a dance feel there. You're not going to be at this. You're not popping around at high speed here, but there's a kind of laid back feeling as that track
it's
is
like
going,
lovely
Kate.
Bedroom dance. You know, you can just kind of float around listening to it.
A bedroom dance.
Yeah, well, that's what I'd call it.
We're not quite
that.
At the watershed yet, were we?
Well, no, just floaty bedroom dance.
I wondered, listen to this album. When did Vagabond visit Derry and listen to Soak?
I know, because she's got this twang.
There's a very similar kind of feel off the vocals.
Yeah, there is. I mean, the thing is, she has... This album's amazing in terms of... I only learned about who she was a few days ago. I hadn't heard about her beforehand.
And so you'll be heading back straight to find out the first album, Infinite
Worlds. Well, no, I listened to it and it's vastly different. But I think it's because she was originally talking about coming from two different worlds. She wasn't in music full-time. She created her first album based from... trauma. She was a computer and electronic engineer and she wanted to always work in music and her parents wouldn't let her. So she created that first album in trauma, and this album, before she created this album, she suffered a really bad anxiety when she had done so well with the first album. So this album, when I listened to it, I genuinely felt like a sense of coming home, and I felt like it connected inside in my heart.
Right.
And then I read up about her, and that's exactly what she was trying to create, that she had lost herself in the success, and she didn't know, she'd writer's block, and she didn't know how to create something.
So
she,
a real connection for you. Did it connect for you, John, or did you find yourself admiring, or was it a connection?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I thought it was a beautiful album. A sense of somebody laying bare their vulnerabilities, but also their such a warmth to the album as well. And you just go back to so many of these tracks that are just great, like Flood and Home Soon. These are wonderful songs. She reminds me a little bit of Mitski, who released my favourite album of last year. This idea of the kind of outsider artist doing something very different.
Yeah, completely.
And just pop, but in a kind of skewed way, and I think it's great.
Yeah.
All right, you both enjoyed it, clearly, enormously. Stars from you, Kit?
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5, and I have a feeling I'm going to grow.
It's going to be 5 before you get home tonight?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
All right, John?
An exceptionally solid 4.
A very solid, or exceptionally solid, let me not change what you said. That's John Marr and Kate Brennan-Harding speaking to us about Vagabond, from Vagabond, before that, Loss from Dahi, and starting us out, Folds and their album Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost Part 2.